Appreciate indeed the preaching we heard this morning. Thank God for his men. I thank God for this opportunity of gathering tonight. Now, I know last night we got off to a late start trying to get all the equipment to work, and I felt sorry for the folk working with the children. And I was at a family conference of Sudanese here a couple of Sundays, Saturdays ago, and the Asheville area. And they had some folk who had volunteered from one of the missions down in Florida to take care of the children. They had room after room full of children. But they were having such a tough time with the kids. I was embarrassed to see the way the young ladies were dressed, totally immodest. And they were having such a tough time with the kids that they the workers said, we've got to rest. We can't have another service this afternoon and wrestle with these children. So they called off the afternoon service, and then I couldn't stay for the evening service. But so are we having children a meeting tonight, sister, or not?
No, we're here.
We're here, okay. All right. Well, let me invite you to turn, because I want to finish my message of yesterday, which was the importance of one person surrendered to Christ, like Nehemiah, who can make a difference. And of course, we're thinking about revival from Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And someone said we need to draw a circle around ourselves and say, Lord, revive everybody in this circle. Amen. Which would be me. Amen. And my point I was going to get to, which I didn't, as we were looking at the power of one, I want to start tonight by looking at the power of one, the God-man. Amen. Here in the book of Philippians, please, chapter number 2. And then we'll go on to what's on our heart here for tonight, the Lord helping me. In Philippians chapter number 2, we'll commence reading at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The power of the God-man, who made himself of no reputation. You know, they're actually teaching in some Bible colleges how to gain a reputation for yourself in the church. Isn't that contrary to the Lord? Amen. Who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Now, just ponder that one statement there. Here is the creator of the universe who permits himself to be encompassed in the womb of a woman. The heavens of heaven can't hold him. And yet in his condescension, he created a woman to bear children for the purpose that he might come as the God-man into this sin-cursed earth. What a humility. Amen. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. God cannot die, but the God-man became obedient unto death, as he took all of the sins of all of his people upon his person. Amen. And his death was not the kind that we'll perhaps have, take our last breath in a nursing home or a hospital or wherever. But my friend, his was on a Roman cross, displaying the hatred of man for the God who created them and put breath in their nostrils. It had been bad enough for him to die in a palace. He became obedient unto death. And what a phrase this is. Even the death of the cross. He had to be a sacrifice. We look at the cross is a place where the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, was slain for the sheep of God. And though the world looked on it, and the passers-by mocked him, the soldiers mocked him, the two thieves mocked him, here he is, the God of the universe, the God-man, the power of one. Absolutely, exclusively, only Christ Jesus the Lord could have died in such a manner for such a purpose. Even because the scripture says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Hear this, dear one loved of his father, became a curse that he might gain sons and have eternal praise throughout the eons to come. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Notice again the power of one laying down his life. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down that I might take it up again. Hallelujah. Not only was the humility of his person being on a cross and dying in such a manner, but thank God he was placed in a borrowed tomb. None of us will borrow a tomb. Amen. But he just borrowed one because he knew that there was going to be a great getting up moaning 3 days and 3 nights afterwards. Amen. Death could not keep his prey. He tore the bars away. Up from the grave, he arose. Can you think about him being in a borrowed tomb? Again, his humility. Hallelujah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. He was. I'm so glad for such a Savior. We will spend all eternity magnifying this one who by divine grace is our Savior, who by divine grace is our present priest, who by divine grace is the reigning King. Amen. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What we see in the person of Christ, the power of the God-man. Seated at the right hand, he's prayed for you today, he's prayed for me today. He always gets his prayers answered. In January the 3rd, he prayed a prayer concerning my dear wife, companion of 54 years. I will that them that thou hast given me may be with me, that where I am, there they may be also. Sheila went to heaven for the good of her health and in answer to the prayer of her blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of one. Amen. But he's coming again. He had to go to heaven, so his dad, Stuart, named a book, so he and the Father could send the Holy Spirit. He had to go to heaven so he could come again. Amen. I mean, the power of one, the God-man. When that last soul for whom he died is born again. My dear lover and friend will precede me out of the grave, and I'll be caught up in the air to meet her and to ever be with the Lord. The powerful. Can we not make our lives count for God now? Amen. Every soul has a thumb mark on it, some way or another. You say, well, I've read about a fellow that was converted out in the jungle. In fact, one of the mightiest missionary works I know of took place to a missionary named Milton Martin. He was almost a 20th century Paul. Totally indigenous work. He sent me a DVD recently of a building in the heart of the jungle with solid cedar doors. A beautiful building built not with a penny of American bucks, by the sacrifice and the energy of a tribe of Indians near the Guatemalan border. Amen. Out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nations. One. This one. This God-man. Perfectly, absolutely God. And a perfect man. Hallelujah. Notice what it goes on to say. Verse number 9. Wherefore, after his great stoop, of course that word humility and humbled is one of the prerequisites according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, isn't it? In fact, it's the first prerequisite. Shall humble themselves and pray. But here's his exaltation in verse 9. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There are 100 names and titles of our blessed Lord. It's only necessary to have 2 names for me. Last name Doom, first name Bob. That says it all for me in two words. But not so. Not so. The God-man. Whatever you need, he is. The forgiver. the lover of your soul. Whatever you need, Rose of Sharon, whatever you need, this one has a name that's above every name. And I think probably the name we all love the most is Savior. One that saved us in a righteous way, as we heard this morning, and provided a righteousness we did not have or could not earn or could not work out, but imputed that and put that to our account. We're not smuggled into heaven. We're saved in a righteous way. And he got up from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, but he's coming again. Perhaps today, children, listen to me. Christ could come today. Are you prepared? Don't presume. Oh, I'm a child. I'm going to do it. No, you don't know. Hallelujah. What a blessed. It's called in Titus 2, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the power of one, the God-man, when he comes. Like a magnet that sweeps across a junkyard with its power on, and all those pieces of metal fly up and hit the bottom of it. When he comes, those who have been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ will be caught up and caught out and forever be with the Lord. The power of one. Hallelujah. What a man of sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, and notice, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Children, have you bowed your knee to Christ? Have you received him? A lot of terminology is even creeping into the terminology of our good churches. It's not accepted him. It's received him, a person. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to them to become sons of God. Amen. I bless the Lord. God's given him a name that's above every name, at the name of Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? Savior, he shall save his people from their sins. Not for them to continue on and wallow in them, but from their sins. From sin's power, sin's love, and sin's service. Amen. What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. And then notice this. Next part of the verse, that every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and that things under the earth. There's a day coming when every knee shall bow, according to the book of Romans. Here it says should. This is a day of grace. Amen. Oh, flee to Christ. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We reprinted, I think it was last month or month before last, a dad's book on the Lordship of Christ that he wrote in the 1930s when he first came to America. He saw we were losing the gospel in the 1930s. He wrote a book called Defective Evangelism, where he dealt with repentance. If there's no repentance, there'll be no salvation. Amen? Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We're living in a generation that's covering sin. Renaming sin. Amen. But God's got it fixed. This one person will have every knee of every person that's ever lived bow. You see, the resurrection of Christ guarantees the resurrection of every person. The grave is not the end for anyone. Some will be raised to everlasting life. Others will be raised to everlasting destruction. I can't fathom it. My mind can't wrap around what it means to spend eternity in hell. But God's got it fixed. His Son must and will be glorified to every person that has ever been born on the face of planet Earth. Bless His name, the power of one. Why wouldn't you want to serve Him now? Why wouldn't we want to live for Him now? Why wouldn't you want to sacrifice for Him now? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. And by God's grace, love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all. Every tongue shall confess, verse 11, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every president, every Muslim, every leader of every nation, for all of these millennials, years, every knee, every tongue, God's got it fixed. That God is big enough to create a world has got it fixed. That His Son will have men bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He'll not only have His Son glorified, but He Himself will be glorified. I'm glad for such a God who in love and mercy and grace has sent His only begotten Son You know, it's amazing how just about every religionist in America of professed Christians know John 3:16. But you know they only major in the first part of the verse? For God so loved the world. And they stop there. But the whole verse says that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. What's that word perish means? To be destroyed in a violent manner. Here's the love of God positioned beside the wrath of God. And as you look back at Calvary, the wrath of God fell on the person of God the Son. Payment, God will not twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Hallelujah. He washed it white. What a Savior. Flee to him. I was giving my testimony of God's dealing with me. I wished I'd had a conversion like Saul of Tarsus, but God gave me one like Lydia. You remember it says of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. He opened my heart. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and in the basement of a church in Wanamaker, Indiana, and I can't pull a face, I think it was a woman, taught me every Sunday as we said together, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. While I was in engineering school, God brought that text to my heart powerfully. He said, felt to me as a call to preach. Amen. So I left my pursuit of getting a diploma with a dollar sign to preach. We were in an apostate church at that time. My folk had moved around in Indiana, gotten out of good churches. My dad would not go because he's raised in Kentucky and was used to preaching. He wouldn't go hear this liberal. In fact, they asked me to preach at that church, and he gave me a book of sermons and had date beside everyone where he'd preached them and when. Obviously, he didn't know anything about God. Amen. Came home from that liberal school I'd gone to in Oklahoma. My daddy said, Bobby, I've been listening to a preacher, Dr. Frankie Collins over in Franklin, Indiana. I'd like to go over and hear him preach. My daddy didn't want to go to church. He couldn't tell us why, but he knew preaching. And that Sunday morning in Easter, sitting up in the gallery because the whole building was packed. At First Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Franklin, Indiana, Dr. Collins preached, you must be born again. God had put a Baptist roommate in the apostate school. It was so bad they had a dance at the school called the Heaven and Hell Dance. I knew that wasn't anything. Right? Amen. Dancing, first of all, and then mocking heaven and mocking hell. Hallelujah. My dad said to me, Bobby, when are you going to go to Bob Jones University and learn how to preach? I didn't even know what Bob Jones University was or where it was. Dr. Collins, and by the way, Bob Jones Jr., was a member of First Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. I don't know how that could be.
with him being down in Greenville in that local church in Franklin, Indiana, but he was. Amen. I got there. Thank God for truth. It started conforming me to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I love books because one of the books out there written by my father-in-law, I left Bob Jones University and I had an easy believism message. That's what I was taught. Amen. But I knew something was wrong with it because those we were converts were supposedly having in Scotland, we'd go back to hold a Bible study with them and we couldn't find them. And I had enough sense to know it was not the disciples' fault, it was something wrong with our message fault. Amen. And I got the little book, Lordship of Christ. That filled in the gaps. Brother Spurgeon says in that book, and we've separated two quotes. The first seven editions had one quote attributed to Brother Spurgeon, but it was Brother Spurgeon and A.W. Pink. Both. Brother Spurgeon said, if a professed convert says he knows the will of God and does not mean to attend to it, don't pamper him in his presumption. Tell him he's lost. See, God, when he saves us, we bow to his lordship. And we lay down our arms of rebellion and we stack arms against God. Amen. And then Pink adds a further nail, as it were, to the truth of God there and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why does a professed convert want to go on in his sin and yet say he's saved? God brings us to bow the knee to Christ and then love him and follow him and serve him. The power, amen, of the God-man. Isn't it wonderful? It would have been no struggle with God to harness all of the electronics that he's letting be harnessed right now to set up a heavenly broadcasting system in the perfect language of each nation and preach the gospel that way. But he's condescended to give saved sinners the privilege of telling other sinners where they can find forgiveness. Isn't that marvelous? He didn't permit the angels to do that. Or the cherubim. Or the seraphim, if there's a difference between the two. He's committed men. Thank God, brother, he laid hold of you when you're about to wreck yourself and perhaps your life. What a privilege to be a preacher. What a privilege to be a missionary. What a privilege to be an evangelist. What a privilege to be a mother raising children for God. Amen. My oldest daughter has 10 children. 5 of their own. 5 adopted from Ethiopia. And my son-in-law had a part, of course, in naming the children. I was at a wedding last Saturday for Evangelia. My son-in-law said that another doctor said, you must be a Christian. You've named your daughter Evangelia, a Greek word for good news. He said, yes, sir, I am. Amen. He named our oldest son, grandson, Jonathan Edwards. He's still a rebel. But we're begging God for him. Amen. I'm glad, aren't you? He named their own natural son, Haddon Charles. So he's going around telling everybody he's named after Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Oh, that God would call preachers. Amen. Out of your family, out of my family. Missionaries. Amen. What a privilege. Bless his name for the power of one, the God-man. What time is it? I've been testifying and preaching. It's 8:30 already. Let me just turn quickly to one portion of Scripture in the book of Joshua. And I'm not doing anything, I don't think. I do, but it's off. I mean, it's turned off. Is that better? It was near it. Joshua chapter 14. I want us to look in Joshua chapter 14 again, because I'm still interested and I'm still trying to deal with personal revival. Look in Joshua chapter number 14, if you will, and for time's sake, we're going to break into the middle of the chapter. And I want you to notice, this is about Caleb. And Caleb's name, by the way, means dog or strong. And sometimes you think of a dog with a strong jaws, don't you? But Caleb was one of the 12 spies that went into Canaan land. He, with Joshua, brought back a good report. You know what God did? The nation of Israel rebelled on God, and he buried over 2 million people in the Sinai Peninsula. Can you imagine being with them for 40 years? Burials every day. It must have been a horrendous thing. But here was one man, along with Joshua, and notice what it says in verse number 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. God brought us out of Egypt to bring us into every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We all have an inheritance, don't we? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt to take them into the promised land. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now notice his age. Verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Here's an 85-year-old man. Sheila planned her own funeral with Dr. David. She called him in the 7th week of her sickness, and said, Bob's been busy. I want to get this funeral arrangements made. She told him the hymn she wanted. She said, I don't want a sad funeral. I don't want folk moping. This is my wedding day. I'm gone to see Jesus. said, preach, Brother David, and told him three areas he ought to preach. Preach to the old folk, she said, because we're old folk. She turned, or she would have been 79 here in July the 20th, 21st. Don't stop. You know, a lot of churches were seeing the old folk lying down. They've still got gifts and ability. They're still able to walk. They think. Amen. Preach to the old folk. And then plead with the young people that they surrender to Christ. Have you ever stopped to think about this? And I've said it here before, I'm sure. The reason that God saved you, purpose that he put you in your mother's womb for, may still be future. Amen. Isn't that a glorious thought? It's not over till it's over. And he's kept you here on purpose. Here he was, 85 years of age. Notice verse number 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The Lord God of Israel. That's correct. Two more times in the scripture, it mentions wholly following the Lord, or fully following the Lord. Now, my question to you saints of God here this evening, is there any reservations? You may have to turn off your iPad because you don't have enough time to read the scriptures or pray or whatever. Amen. You may have to readjust your recreational week. Amen. It's amazing how the world's encroaching on the church, isn't it? In my day, they would have never scheduled a sporting event on a Wednesday night. I have an evangelist friend that he played high school basketball. If the game was in the town he lived in, he would go to the prayer meeting and leave after the prayer meeting was over, ride his bicycle down to the gym and suit up and play the rest of the game. His daddy said, you're going to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I like that. Amen. If it's a away game, he didn't go and play away. Amen. Sports have become the god of even Christians. The question I'm asking tonight, is there some area... My baby sister, Jenny, loved the Lord, is with the Lord. And she used to have a habit when she got kind of low of buying pick-me-up shoes. When she died, she had all kinds of shoes. A waste of God's good money. But her outlet when she got depressed or down was go buy a pair of shoes. You know, it's amazing. All that money. How about it? Are you fully following the Lord? Is there any reservations? Is there any holdbacks? He's worthy of your fully and wholly following the Lord. And beloved, if we're going to have a revival, I really do believe it begins with me. Thou wilt revive me. Amen. Then we're going to have to get to the place where we fully are wholly follow the Lord. Again, the power of one. By the way, as an aside, it's interesting that he's the only one in the scriptures that the scripture says wholly or fully follow the Lord. Even Joshua had a faith failure. his companion who said, let's go in and conquer the land. You remember what happened? That Ahai, he didn't seek the face of God, how to go up war against Ai. Sent up part of the troops instead of all of them, and they got whooped. Amen. 21 Israelis killed. He was on his face. And God rebuked him and said, get up and deal with the sin that's in the camp. But you know what Joshua said? Would to God we'd stayed on the other side of the river. That's what they'd been saying in the 40 years of wandering. Would to God we'd stayed in Egypt. And even Joshua had a faith failure. We can all have faith failures, can't we? God enable us for his glory to wholly follow the Lord. Brother Nathan, if you'll come and lead us in I Surrender All. And let's sing this, not just routinely, but sing with commitment. 394. To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender. Oh.